Hey everybody, this is Senior Pastor Joshua B. Carson saying thank you for tuning into the CT Podcast. We hope that your time here, whether you're driving down the road or whether you're sitting at home with a journal and listening in, we hope that it's effective. Maybe it'll be inspirational, encouraging, maybe it'll be thought-provoking. Regardless of what session you're listening to, we truly pray that this is a benefit to you and to your family. God bless and enjoy the podcast. I want to turn your attention tonight to the book of Psalms. As you're turning there, I want us to go to the Lord. Psalm 137 is where you'll be turning. I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. I want us to continue to pray for Sister Leach. I want us to continue to pray for Sister Marshall. We're thanking God that they are both in recovery. I want you with me, please. Let's continue to lift up the Brooks family. The strength and the peace of God, the Brown family. How many know that God is able to provide that peace? Haven't we been there? We've been there where either we have said or someone has said to us, I know it was the Lord. I know it was the peace of the Lord. He is still a healer. He is still a deliverer. I'm thankful for what I feel in this house tonight. We've been singing about loving Him. How many know that He loves us? He loves this family that has endured loss, both the Brooks family and the Brown family, and he is with these that have been sick in their body. I do want to give you a praise report. Some have asked, and I want to take this moment to say thank you so much for your prayers for my father. My father has made an incredible recovery. My mother told me yesterday, my dad is like a new man, and I am so thankful for the mercy of God. Thank you for your prayers. We give God praise for that. I hope that that would never seem self-serving. I'm just bragging on God, and I'm thankful to God and thankful to the church for your prayers. Would you pray with me for these families right now? Lord, we love you. We bring these families before you tonight asking that you would provide peace and strength and healing. You know exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. We want to be faithful to you as you are faithful to us. But we can't do this without your strength and your help due to the situations of life. We have families that are dealing with sickness and heartache, families that are dealing with devastating loss. We need your help and your direction in all things. We ask for it. We thank you for what you've done, and we thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, we thank you for the things you're doing right now that we can't even recognize, but you're working. You're working on our behalf. Praise God. I was just a college student in an IBC chapel one time when Brother Mooney walked in with a big old Bible, and he preached this message about the Lord riding on a swift cloud. Using that scripture and just reminding us that God can show up just like that. And I would tell somebody tonight, God knows what He's doing. He is pretty good at being God. Amen. Psalm 137 is where we are, this familiar portion of text that is the reflection of captivity and exile. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us, required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. It is a somewhat dark reflection, but allowed and even inspired by the Spirit of God in the penning of this text. For the people of God, having coddled idolatry, it is one thing to allow idolatry close to you, but the danger is when you coddle idolatry, you might end up becoming captive to idolatry. And they go from coddling idolatry to becoming captives in an idol-worshipping people with the Babylonians. And we know the ending here of these scriptures are because even then Babylon would fall to Persian influence. We are finishing our series here tonight about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I have a very simple prayer before we teach and get into this here tonight. I want you to pray with me, Lord, keep a new song in my spirit. That's what I want you to pray with me right now. Lord, keep a new song in my spirit. As I reflect, as I look back, but also as I look forward, help me to have a new song in my spirit. We pray it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let everyone say amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. The uniqueness of the series this month has been because our music fest was taking place also this month. Now, many of you actually were here in attendance on the Thursday and the Friday at 11 a.m. I saw many of you that were here. Part of what we're going to do for the series this month on our app is we're going to also put the transcribed notes from those 2 day sessions in with this series. But we have been talking about music. We spent a lot of time on week one. I referenced Gary Erickson's book on worship a lot. Some of you possibly had read that, but we talked about worship, what it is, and what it means. But it's from the biblical concept of these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I want to remind everyone here tonight, you don't have to be a good singer to have a song. You don't have to be a good singer to have a song. In fact, I would tell you that everyone who knows the delivering power of Jesus Christ has a song to sing. You have a song in your spirit. Now, I know where I'm living right now. I know where this series is. And so, Dr. Anderson, I've had an old songbook song in my heart today. I've sang it under my breath multiple times. Let's see how quickly you could grab onto it. He brought me out. Stop. How many don't know what's being sung right now? A bunch of you young ones don't know, I can tell. Okay, here we go. We're going to teach them. Ready? He brought me out of the mire. He set my feet on the rock today. He put a song in my soul today. A song. Want to do it one more time? Let's do it one more time. Oh, he brought me out of the mire. He set my feet on the rock. He put a song today, a song. Let me ask you a question. Are you glad he brought you out of the miry clay? Do you still believe in this doctrine that he set your feet on the rock, Christ Jesus, to stay? So then let me ask you this part. Did he put a song? Not 10 years ago, did he put a song in your soul today? What is that song? It is a song of his praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whether you received the Holy Ghost 30 years ago or 30 minutes ago, he has put a song in your soul to sing. We are a church. We are a body that is in agreement with the Old and the New Testament. We believe in not simply music and instruments in the singing of songs, but we believe them to be unto the God that we worship. Okay? Our singing is directed unto the one who has saved us. Our singing is to be in harmony with the textural approach to give him the glory. To give him the glory. Now, it is our opportunity. Also, we're going to honor someone here at the start of this tonight. We've had a pretty amazing music director for a few decades around here. And Dr. Anderson, we want to let you know that we love you and we honor you for all of the hard work and all of the years of service. Hey, be my runner for me. He's right back over there by her in the red sweatshirt. We honor you. Music Ministry Appreciation. We love Dr. Anderson. We love you. We love you. Dr. Anderson, we appreciate you leading our worship team. Now, we know it takes an army. How many know it takes an army of musicians and singers to lead at Calvary Tabernacle? But he has helped and developed and trained, not just with training, but talent and teaching them to be anointed and to be skillful when they play. And we're thankful for that so that we might exalt the name of the Lord together. Something that has been very firmly fastened in his heart and very clear in his leadership, along with the additional leadership from so many, has been not just having a song, but getting a song down on paper. I grew up, like many in this room did, singing from the hymnal. In fact, if you weren't able to hear Brother Andrew Romine's message on Friday of our music fest, some of you are going to want to listen to it just when I tell you the title. His title was, What's Wrong with the Hymnal? Is that right? Did I get the title right? Because that's what's in my mind, so I hope that's what it was. If not, we're going to change the title to, What? No, that's what it was. But he teaches a great, and he talks about the pros and the cons, but it's a wonderful message to listen to. But the only reason we were able to have those songs to sing in communal fashion was because someone got them from their heart onto paper. Brother Mac may be in here somewhere tonight. He gave me a book almost 2 years ago, and one of my favorite quotes from that book was this: the mind is a great place to have ideas, a terrible place to keep them. How many know that's right? Okay. How many have ever lost something that you knew where it was? You knew where it was, but you've lost it, like your car keys or something. Okay. Anyone in here that has ever sang from a song, from a hymnal, you are glad that they wrote it down. I've told many students over the years, thank God that the Holy Ghost inspired them to write the text. But thank God they were obedient and wrote it. Now some, if not many of us in here, do not like writing. Okay? Some of you love to write. How many in here, and I'm doing some of this intentional, stay with me for a second. How many in here you love writing? You enjoy writing a letter, or notice that there's like five hands out of 800 people. There's like, writing? Does voice text count? Yeah, okay. We'll take whatever you give at this point. What happens here in the hymnal and what happens with these songs is getting it from your heart and your spirit onto the paper. And I would challenge that in this generation, in fact, I have talked to many songwriters in today's generation, we've got to make sure that even though it might rhyme, it might flow well, but if it's not doctrinally sound, and even if it's just from your mind but not from your spirit, it needs to be considered. Now, you might be in here tonight thinking, well, what does that have to do with me? I'm not a songwriter. No, but you're a song singer. And before we present songs into our churches that we sing, We want to know that what we're singing is tied to biblical accuracy. It's tied to pure motive. And the truth is, some of the greatest songs, now there are amazing songs that have been penned that came from places of joy and great times, but there are also songs that have been penned from great distress. Just like we, the multitude in this room that has never penned a song before has had to live through the song of life and looks back, understanding that some of your toughest seasons became great testimonies of what He brought you through. Now, we're privileged here in this church because we've had multiple songwriters, past and present. They've come through over the years. Some are still here with us tonight. We're gifted. I have asked our very own Sister Galyon if she would, she's a very gifted songwriter, if she would take a little time here tonight. She didn't even act like she was going to kill me for this. And so we love and appreciate Sister Galyon, who is so gifted and anointed in music ministry. She has written some wonderful songs. I said, Sister Galyon, will you present to the body a little bit of the story of one of your songs? So Sister Galyon, we love you. Come share with us for just a little bit here tonight.
Amen. I typically don't share these stories very often because I'm always afraid it sounds self-serving, but I do know the Lord takes you in dark places and you don't ever know what's going to come of them. And so when Pastor asked me if I would share some of my testimonies of a few of the songs that I've written over the years, I said, yes, sir. But inspiration, you know, can come at any time in any way, and you never really know when it's going to come for those of you that write songs. And throughout my life, my family has always, I was the kind of the melodramatic child. I know you can't believe that, but I wrote songs and stories and poems about how hard my life was as an MK. And my family would always tease me and just say, you know, if she's going through something, there's going to be a song about it. And so to an extent, I think it's one way how I process situations. And because music speaks to me, it's a medium of expression for me. And actually, I think over the years, they've become a type of prayer. And the way that I process through whatever God's taking me. 20 years ago, I went through a period where I had completely stopped writing. I was dry. My well was dry. There was nothing. There was no creative flow. Nothing would come. It lasted for a year or so. And one service, Brother Eli Hernandez walked up to me and gave me a very specific word and told me that the Lord would open the fountain of my pen. And it wasn't too long after that that the Lord started giving me songs again and I started writing. And not long after that, I felt the gate lifted and the floodgates open and creativity flowed. A couple years after that, my husband and I were going through a really difficult season of ministry. Don't have time to go in through all the details, but one night at a minister and wives retreat, we walked in and there was tongues and interpretation. I don't remember what all of it said, but the district superintendent said, be still and know that I am God. And then he'd say something, something, something. Be still and know I am God, something, something, something. And it was just over and over. And I felt like the entire time it was like the Lord was speaking to me. Just quiet your spirit. Be still. I'm going to fight your battles. Let me be God, and I'm going to take care of it. And I remember walking off that platform and slipping down to the basement into my office at the church and sitting at that piano. The lights were out. I turned on my little lamp, and I just cried and interceded. The Lord came in. We were just having it out. We were having a talk. And all of a sudden, lyrics begin to flow. Melody began to flow. And you now know that song as Be Still and Know that we recorded in 2013. I never knew that 6 years later, after I wrote that song in a dark time, in a dark place, that God was going to take it and use it, and that Brother Anderson was going to hear it, and that we would record it. I had no idea what God had really planned for all of those things. In 2014 and 15, I was on an island. I was a 24-hour ferry ride from my husband, 3,000 miles from my family. I had emergency surgery, and I was laying in the bed in recovery, and the Lord dropped these words, I don't need a mountain high to thank you. I don't need a valley low to sing my praise to you. I don't need a cloud to fill the sky or even a reason why. You are more than enough to lift my voice and say thank you. You know the journey that my family went on in 2019. And through prayer and tears and more prayer, the Lord gave me the lyrics. I've seen miracle signs and wonders. I've seen you stop the lightning and thunder. When you say the word, I heard peace be still. And I don't have enough time to tell you the significance behind each one of those lyrics or the circumstances that caused me to write them. But it sat undone on my piano for months until June of 2019, when Pastor Carson was not even pastor at Calvary Tabernacle, but he preached a sermon at Indiana Camp titled, When the Mountain Won't Move. And it became the hook and the tagline for Mountains that IBC recorded in 2020. It isn't always heaviness and heartache. Sometimes it's like our songwriting section for Calvary Live when the sun was shining bright and, you know, you wake up on a good morning and the Lord, I was just thinking about the goodness of God and everything that he'd been or had brought me through and he's done in my life, and a song about joy comes out. Or one Sunday night when I watched ladies from our addiction recovery class being baptized. And when she came up out of the water speaking in tongues and shouting hallelujah, I literally felt the Lord speak to my spirit and say, this is the sound that angels can't sing. This is something that the angels can't do. This is the sound of the redeemed. One week during our jail ministry at Marion County, the Spirit of God fell in that stuffy old chapel. And I couldn't think of a song to go into. And I knew the Spirit was moving. So I just started playing a chord progression and singing, there's power in the name, healing in the name above all names. And just kept singing that one line over and over until the next line came, and then I sang that. And I remember I watched as the power of God moved in that little chapel and those inmates started standing and tears streaming down their face. I didn't have a voice memo because we were in jail. I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't like speak it or sing it or do anything, record it. I remember looking at Sister Katie Brzezinski and she grabbed a phenomenal track off the pulpit and was writing the lyrics. I'm like, write this down. So she's writing it all around the edge of the tract. And when we walked out, we ended up finishing this song, but it started in a jail. In a prison ministry, he gives a fresh song. He gives a new song. I tell the students the good thing about seasons are that they change. So even if you never sit down and you write a lyric, sometimes the Lord's going to wake you up in the middle of the night or in the middle of a nap, and you start singing, God's been so good to me. He's been so good to me. And whether it's a song of encouragement during a difficult time, a song of hope and faith during a trial, a song of thanksgiving because his goodness in every season, he really, really is the reason. He's always faithful, and he will always give you a new song. Lord bless you, Calvary.
Awesome. Thank you. I honor that. Thank you. Isn't that good? The reality is this. Tough times. Dark days or sunny days, you've got a song. I've got a song. Our song is predicated upon our salvation and our Savior. Not the regimen of our world, not the distractions that come with it. Sickness is not your song. Fear is not your song. Depression is not your song. How many know that we could go down the list, negative word after negative word after negative word, that is somewhat the norm of our society? Whatever word you want to find as an ornament from this world, I will tell you that is not meant to be the song of a believer. The song of the believer, if you're in that dark season, is he can keep you. Whether mountaintop or valley low, he can keep you. It's here, it's in Psalm 137 that we are dealing with this very real time. I want you to put that image up, if you will, the harps that are on the willows. It's kind of an artistic rendering of Psalm 137. And what is happening here is this reflection of captivity. It is this mocking, as it were, to sing the songs of Zion in a strange place. This reflecting on what was, what could be, the thoughts of Jerusalem. How do we sing? How do we have a song? How do we have joy, if you please, when we are not able to be in Jerusalem? I want to remind us tonight what I believe we already know, but in case anyone is there, that anyone that in any way is entertaining even the smallest forms of idolatry, I want to return to my opening remarks and remind you that Israel's entertaining of idolatry would end up leading to being captive within an idolatrous nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot sing freedom while living bound. It is not the will of God that we sing about the joy of the Lord while we cannot get out of our beds from depression. Well, I'll stay here for a minute. That's okay. It's a Wednesday night. I want us to hear this very clearly. I thank God for every medical advancement that's ever been made. I know quite well and have read plenty of the medical journals and studies on chemical imbalances in the body. But I remind every person under the sound of my voice that will hear me, there is nothing like the joy of the Holy Ghost. There is nothing like the peace of God. And in spite of every situation, in spite of every circumstance, in spite of every dilemma, there is something about a believer who, on key or off key, I don't care if you sing in C or Z, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Pastor Lopez, you know, it was only a couple of days ago when I talked to you about my conviction for the early church and the communal process of discipleship. The early apostolic model was, if we can get people around people of the faith, it will begin to disciple them. It will begin to teach them. We believe in one-on-one discipleship, but one-on-one discipleship is supposed to always be working jointly with, if we get them into the body, so that someone who does not know, all that has to happen in a room like this is someone has to start. There is power. And what happens is, see people wanting to start singing. Why? Because you associate with it. And we have all been in services where we walked into the room heavy, downtrodden from the things of life, but we begin to collectively sing together about the joy of the Lord, that somebody else had a song that was placed on their heart or their spirit, and they got it out of their spirit onto paper, and it was mixed with melody. Those lyrics and those notes begin to work together to formulate this artistic expression that then those words of worship, like Wiblet says, those words of worship, it is considered a terrifying task, but it is also a beautiful responsibility to put words of worship on the lips of believers, so that when we walk in here, whether it be a Wednesday or whether it be a Sunday, but can I tell you, it might be a Tuesday night prayer meeting or a Thursday mid-morning prayer meeting, and it might not be any of those. It might be you driving down 135 or 65, and all of a sudden, in the midst of a trial of your life, you begin to sing about the goodness. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so. Do you think that the angels care whether or not you're good enough to be a soloist in the choir? Let me tell you what she was saying, what you said, Sister Galleon, was what I was hoping would come out of this here, this song of salvation that even the angels can't sing. But can I tell you who else doesn't care whether you're a good singer? The drug addict, the person that's overwhelmed by life's trials and tribulations, they don't really care how great of a singer you are. They are pretty interested, though. Do you actually believe what you're singing? Do you actually believe the lyrics that are coming out of your mouth right now? And I want heaven to know we're not just singing to sing. We're singing songs of Zion. We are worshiping because we are looking heavenward. I talked in week one, and I conclude intentionally in week four talking about the citizenship of heaven. The citizenship of heaven. I preached about it in one of our Sundays this month. I want this all to work together with our minds, our hearts, our spirits focused on where we're going. They hung their harps upon the willows. Put the quote by Boyce up here, if you will. I want us to look at this quote by Boyce on the screen together. We notice that altogether the exiles were unable to sing the songs of Zion in Babylon. They nevertheless did not break their harps in pieces or throw them in the stream. Instead, they hung them on the poplars, presumably saving them for what would surely be a better day. I'm here on a Wednesday night to tell somebody it's time to get your unbroken harp off the willow and sing again. I know that maybe you've been in a 5-month season, maybe you've been in a 5-year season, but you could wreck hell's day by getting your harp off the willow and saying, I'm going to sing. I didn't know you were going to talk about a dry spout tonight, but I knew to share this particular point, that regardless of how long you felt overwhelmed thinking about Zion, regardless of how long your harp has been on the willow, it was a detriment to the enemy that you didn't break that harp up. You've just had it in hiatus. You've just had it on. You've got a song that is still to be sung. And listen, if you don't feel like you can sing about the answer that you prayed for happening, you can't sing a song about them returning. You can't sing a song about your finances turning around. You can't sing a song about, you've got all these things you prayed for that didn't happen. As long as you've still got the song that says, He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stand. I'm telling you, you can sing your own situation around. You can sing your own joy in. I want you to get the mental image of pulling that harp off the willow. It is joy unspeakable. You say, Pastor Carson, I'm not musical at all. We've all heard people that can't sing, sing. Right? That's what showers were made for. I don't care how good it sounds to each other. I hope you've got a song that terrifies hell and makes heaven rejoice. I hope we can get the harp off the willow. And don't you worry about who's judging you. Here's the incredible thing about it. As the enemy was trying to mock them and they were overwhelmed, you can still have your mind on Zion and you can still get your mind focused. I know that we're in a dark world, but this should not be a surprise to we as believers. For Isaiah had prophesied very clearly that gross darkness would cover the earth. But in the same book that talks about gross darkness, Brother Pruitt, that same book that talks about gross darkness also talks about the glory of God being How can you have one or the other? Jesus made it very clear. You're the city set on a hill which cannot be hid. People don't take a candle and put it under a bushel. No, that's not how this works. You're like a city that's on a hill. So I'd ask this question. If we're not singing the song of glory, who is going to sing the song of glory? And if we don't have a song to sing, the enemy, that's why one of the enemy's greatest tactics is to take your song and take your song and replace it with negativity. Take your song and replace it with criticism. Take your song and focus on what you've been pulled away from. Put that next quote up there if you will. I just gave you a couple of quotes for tonight. Morgan writes, yet there was a song in the silence. Boy, that's a great title right there. That's, I'm trying not to preach tonight, but I'm having a hard time. There's a song in the silence, not heard of the cruel oppressors, but heard of Jehovah himself. It was the song of the heart, remembering Jerusalem, counting it the chief joy of life. There is something about reflection. There is something about thinking. I have yet to encounter in a deep conversation with a backslider or a prodigal that wants to come back to God. I have yet in all my years to talk to one that somehow in the conversation, it hasn't come up about them reflecting on church services they used to be a part of, camp meetings that they went to, Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and altar calls. Somehow it gets interwoven. We were at this one service. I'll never forget this one, because once you have tasted Zion, once you have felt Zion. Now, I believe in taking the gospel everywhere we can. We go to the highways and the hedges. I believe in evangelism. If you know me, you listen to me preach, I believe in evangelism. But I want you to help me finish that scripture intentionally. Go to the highways and the hedges and do what? Compel them what? Get in here and listen to us sing. Hear our song. Not because of our notes and not because of our instruments, but because of the lyrics that are laced with our spirit of His salvation. And so I've come on a Wednesday night to conclude. I'm going to land this plane, but I have come to tell somebody in this room, if you will take this with you, get your harp off the willow. Whether it's a song or a hymn or a spiritual song, whether you got a great voice or a lesser than great voice. Whether Dr. Anderson can ever give you a solo, or you need to stay so low, people next to you. I want to tell the story. We're already into it. I was with Brother Lopez and Brother Matthews one day, and we were going to lunch. And they were did he give you music lessons, or he tried to give you singing lessons or something? I said, Brother Matthews, why? Why didn't you keep that going? He said, I tried, Pastor. I tried. We were laughing so hard. We were having a good time. We were enjoying it. But listen, I'm going to tell you, the song you have to sing is not about being critiqued by someone's ear next to you. But how many know that when you sing the song of salvation, it's not about tying you to this earth. It's not about tying you to this world. The same way they're dealing with the distress of a lost Jerusalem, our songs are meant to tie us to an eternal promise of a hope in glory. We sing about the truth of heaven. Somebody yell out right now, what is your favorite song about heaven? Oh, I want to see Him and look upon. Boy, we grew up on. Who was that, Brother Wilson? Boy, we grew up on that one. That one right there. As I journey through the land singing. Woo! See, you hear the people? Some people are like, how do they know this stuff? Give me another heaven song. Going up yonder. Did I hear that? Was that Brother Henderson? Going up yonder. He said, oh, yes. That's hillbilly for amen. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. And how many know there was always that person close to you that said, in the morn, when I, hallelujah. What's another one? Anybody got any more? What? When we all get to heaven. Oh, I love that. When we all see Jesus. I started it too high. Sorry. I start songs sometimes. My wife says, start that so high. Anybody else? Anything else? Heaven's Jubilee. Nobody knows that here. I say stuff like that. I hear people start singing. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Anybody? How about somebody? You play trumpet? What's your favorite heaven song on trumpet? Putting you on the spot. Some glad morning when this life is old. to, what is it? God's Celestial Shore. And then we went boom, 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 boom. Stand with me. Why are we doing this exercise? We used to sing about heaven so much. Somewhere in the Christian music world, in the industry of it all, we went from singing about heaven to singing about us. We went from singing about heaven to singing about feeling better. I'll never forget the great late Hugh Rose, such great Calvary roots. I didn't know much about Calvary, didn't know much about Brother Rose when I walked into how many remember hearing, anybody hear Brother Rose? Bellowing voice. I remember going to a session, a young worship leader, young, and him teaching a lesson, the danger of eye-centric music. I didn't know what he was talking about. He gave his title. I thought, that doesn't make sense. But the more he taught and the longer he unfolded lyrics, I remember finding myself repenting, thanking God, I don't want to know how to just feel good in this world. I want my songs to connect me to heaven. Ooh. I want to be willing to play my harp. I want to be willing to sing my song in this foreign land, but I don't want to sing the songs of a foreign land. Ooh. I don't, God forbid that Taylor Swift's lyrics replace, God forbid our generation is more comfortable singing Post Malone and I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I don't even care about saying names of. And I think we ought to pray for every person. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about this. Our songs are songs of glory and songs of. We sing from Calvary to heaven, from the cross to the throne. That's what we sing. He brought me out because he's bringing me in. He pulled me out because he's drawing me in. I've got a song to sing. Throw your hands towards heaven all over this room. I'm asking everybody in the room, would you pray, God, put a song. Oh, put that song. Whether you're going through a dark season, you got a song of salvation to sing. If you wake up tomorrow and the sun's shining, you're going to have a song. But if you wake up and there's storm clouds and thunderstorms, you're going to have a song. Get your harp off the willow. I know you feel like you've been carried. We got great families that have been carried into dangerous seasons of sickness and distress. But I'm telling you, you got a song. You got a song that connects you to heaven. Ooh. I can't get out of this for just a moment. Would you just praise God with me and seek him for a moment with me right now? Just seek God with me for a moment right now. Ooh. Jesus. Boy, I feel like he's lifting somebody out of a pit right now. I got this image of somebody taking your harp off of a willow right now. Jesus. Jesus. Put a song in our heart. Put a song. He brought me out of the mire. I need you to pray with me for a moment right now. I'm reaching for somebody right now in this room. Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. God, have mercy. Oh, God, mercy. Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, you've been in the trial of your life and you've stopped singing. You think if you sing, it's the enemy taunting you. I'm telling you, you can sing about glory. You might have to sing in spite of your setting. You might have to sing your way out of captivity. You might have to sing your way through this trial. Oh, in Jesus' name. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Let everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for time in your house. Thanks for time in your word. We've heard real life reflection so well spoken to us tonight. From good days, bad days, a season of a dry well. We've heard that from Sister Galleon. We've heard her talk about how those lyrics have come from places of hurt and also from places of joy. Sometimes individually and sometimes collectively, but getting those lyrics out that you might be glorified and magnified. Sometimes you take songs from our hurting seasons that they might minister to others during their seasons of hurting. I pray that you would strengthen each and every one of us. We want to keep the song of salvation on our lips. We bless your name. We thank you this night for your goodness and your mercy. Let the body say amen. Bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are officially dismissed here tonight.